Have you ever got so caught up in the details that it stopped you from doing the exact thing that you set out to do? Have you ever got had a great idea? You were so focused to be able to get it done. You were so excited. And then you sat down and you got a text or you got an email. Then you had to respond to this one. And then before you know it, 20, 30 minutes, an hour is gone. Maybe it's through scrolling social media, whatever it is. And the reason why I asked this question is because that happened to me today. I was so amped right after our men's group. We do a men's group every Tuesday from 7:30 to 8:30, and it is unbelievable to see the types of transformations that are happening with men. And it's, ages anywhere from 22 up to, in the mid-50s, early 60s. We won't shout out all the names to protect the innocent, but it's incredible what's happening. And our whole men's group is based off of the corresponding proverb for the corresponding day. And today, because it's 23rd of April, 2024, we decided long ago that we would do this, but the corresponding proverb was Proverbs 23. And the question was, where is your heart? This was the thing that God was big on me this morning. And it's amazing because my mind, like I asked you before, have you ever had an idea? Then you get distracted and you go down all these different rabbit holes. That's where my mind was at. But where's your heart? See, your heart will always bring you back to almost an anchor or a foundation. And so what God was asking this morning is, where's your heart at? And what he was saying is, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so whatever I treasure, that's where my heart is. But he asked me today, where is your heart? And I have to tell you, last Friday, my heart was in a place where I didn't like it that much. I coached FNL, Friday Night Lights, with my son, flag football. And we were beating up on this team pretty good. And there was a pass that got thrown, and it was a long pass. We were on defense, and the kid catches it. In my head, he bobbled it, and then our kid knocked it out of his hand. But it could have been that he caught it, then he ran a couple of steps, then he fumbled it. Well, at that time, the rule is if he catches it and then he, fumbles it later, the ball is dead right there. But if he juggles it and the guy knocks it out of his hands, then it's an incomplete pass. Well, obviously from my side, because I'm on defense, my team's on defense, I start shouting, no, it wasn't a completion. The other coach starts yelling, no, it was a completion. I start yelling, are you kidding me? But the ref is like 16, 17 years old. So you can imagine this kid is freaked out. The one coach who's probably 6'4", 6'5", is yelling as loud as he can. And I'm trying to yell over the top, no, he's not. Did this really matter? It's fifth and sixth grade, Friday Night Lights, flag football. At the time where my heart was at was like, I want to prove a point. I'm right. Well, the ref called in the other guy's favor. So I have to apologize for what I'm about to tell you. But I went to our head coach and I said, drop it on him. And he knew exactly what I was talking about. I said, based off the way that he reacted right there, let's lay it on him. Well, we were already beating this team by a sizable margin, and it was coming down. There was only a couple minutes left, but where my heart was at was, I'm going to show you. And so the coach looked at me. He smiled. Coach, Coach Matt. And he smiled, and he's like, I got you, man. And we called the play. And they start off on their 5-yard line. My son drops back, waits for the guy to rush on him at the last second, drops a dime the whole length of the field. And the our receiver, Michael, head tops this defender, like reaches over the top of him, head tops him, and then jogs into the end zone. And what I looked over at that other coach in the team is like, see, you want to poke the bear, this is what you're going to get. And then I had to realize what was in my heart was trying to prove something that wasn't that important. And so right after the game, I felt a little bad. I did get over it, but it brought up this question of what's in your heart. Well, what was in my heart at that point was win at any cost. What's in my heart now is like, maybe you should have backed off a little bit. But the cool thing is with the corresponding proverb for the corresponding day, when you start reading this, you read it and then it reads you. Well, it read me this morning and helped me to realize that my heart wasn't in the right place. And that was a major thing. The other thing that we worked on in our men's group was I took and I asked, and I would suggest, or maybe, you know, ask you to do this with us too. So our assignment was, is to take a triangle. So to draw a triangle, the base of the triangle here, and then we go up towards the top. If you're just listening, it's just a regular triangle. On the base of the triangle, write beliefs, right? And so what do you believe? Like, what's in your heart? And not like, I believe in integrity and all this, and being humble and stuff. I'm talking about, like, get down to it being personal for you. On the sides of the triangle, the two sides, write down your intentions, right? So the intentions that you have. And again, be very, very specific. And at the top of the triangle, at the very top, the very smallest little point, write down your actions, right? And so what I asked our men's group to do is, if you do this, right? So on the bottom, it's your beliefs. On the side, it's your intentions. On the top is your actions. And then I want you to look at it and ask yourself every single day, are those things in line? Is my beliefs in line with my intentions? And are those beliefs and intentions in line with my actions? And so when I asked him to do this, it was great because my friend Mike, he is one of the wisest guys that I know, is like, ask yourself this at the base of the triangle, what are you concerned with today? Like, what's on your heart? What do you wish, or your intentions, what do you wish could happen on the sides of the triangle? And then at the top of the triangle, what are you willing to do to make that thing better? So what are you concerned with? What do you wish would happen? And what are you willing to do in that scenario? So with that, let's go over it just quickly. So write down your beliefs and make sure that they are like signature to you and as specific as possible. And so for me, and I'll give you an example, you could hear mine, but don't try and copy it because, you know, I mean, you could use it as inspiration. But mine are that I'm awesome, separate myself from my accomplishments, I'm beautiful, don't ever compare yourself to anyone, and I could do anything that I put my mind to, but just because I could do it doesn't make it my purpose. And then my pops would say to me, that's the three things my mom would say. And then my pops would say to me, you're the greatest, so act accordingly. See, that's my belief system. I'm awesome. I'm beautiful. I could do anything. I'm the greatest, so I need to act accordingly. It's a belief system. My intentions are to be kind, to make friends, and to stay curious, ask a ton of questions, because I already know what I do. And that is my attention every time I walk into the room. My actions at the top, very top of the triangle, is to simply be relentless. When I start in on something, I want to go at it until I get my desired result. My pops called it a pit bull mentality. Lock your jaws on. And once you lock your jaws on, you either take the limb or they kill you. Either one is fine. And so that for me was my beliefs, my intentions, and my actions. So in these things, your belief system is where your heart is at. Your intentions is where your mind is at. And your actions is where your skills are at. And it's amazing when you align those things, what happens is people tend to not have a challenge with you and they want to invite you in because you're congruent with what it is that you're talking about. And I tell you, when you align these things, your heart, your mind, and your actions, or your heart set, your mindset, and your skill set, and you align them, you create a vibe that is irresistible and people feel great around you. Because remember, the vibe is not the energy that you bring into the room. It is simply the way that people feel when you leave. And the most consistent way, what I find, to be able to have people feel amazing in your presence is to know what you believe, your heart set. You know it. To take your mindset, which is your intentions, and be in line with that heart set. And then simply take your skill set and put it in line with all of those, that becomes irresistible. So that's what we were talking about. And what I would suggest is if you get the opportunity this week, draw out a triangle, write your beliefs on the bottom, write your intentions on the sides, and write your skills on the top, or your actions on the top. And then just ask yourself every single day, like, what am I concerned with on the bottom? What do I wish would happen? Intentions. And what am I willing to do? My actions. When this happens, it's unbelievable. Now, it's work every single day. It's not like set it and forget it, but it's incredible that way. So Here we go on our Proverbs 23. So this, the whole thing was, where's my heart at? Because again, the heart is the base of the triangle, the base of that. All, everything stems from your heart. And if God could have your heart, guess what starts to happen? He has everything, because when you see something, you hear it, or you become aware of through your senses, it gets into your heart. So once it gets into your heart, your mouth, your words are an overflow of your heart. So whatever is in your heart will come out your mouth at some point. So we just got to be careful and protective of what we see, what we hear, and we become aware of through the senses, right? And again, for those of you tuning in for the first time, we go through this corresponding proverb, corresponding day, but this is not from a place of me saying, you need to do this. It's saying that I mess up a ton. Like I've said on my FNL, my heart was not in the right place at all. My heart was win at all costs and show these people. Now, we did win. We won by a sizable amount, and I got to high-five the kids, and Michael got to head-top some people. My son got to throw some touchdowns, but I probably could have won in a different fashion. I want to apologize if other coaches of the team, if you're watching this, I love you. I'm an idiot. I messed up, and I want to be better. Here we go. Proverbs 23, the corresponding proverb, corresponding day. In number one is understand the whole story. So in verse 1-3, it says, when you sit with a ruler, note well what is before you. Put a knife to your neck if you are given to gluttony. Do not crave his delicacies, for that food is deceptive. And this is a big thing, because a lot of times we sit down with someone who maybe has a little bit more than us or whatever it is, or we see somebody and we compare ourselves, right? But we don't know what they went through to be able to get to that point. So understand the whole entire story before you go into it. And it was very implicit there, put a knife to your throat if you are given to gluttony. Just wanting more and more and more and more. Number two, what are you focused on? And in verse 4 and 5, it says, do not wear yourself out to get rich. Do not trust in your own cleverness. Cast but a glance on riches and they are gone, for they will surely spring wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. Verse 4 and 5, what are you focused on? My brother tells me this all the time. My big brother, Rob, he tells me that, he's focused on doing the right thing. He has Cardenas Law Group. If you're in Las Vegas and you're listening to the podcast, Cardenas Law Group is the only answer when it comes to personal injury. The guy is unbelievable. What he built his business on is not on billboards and marketing. What he did was he built it on phenomenal service, taking care of people, and focusing on solving the challenges that people have and making sure that they feel amazing during the process. And guess what has happened to his business? He's become one of the top attorneys in Las Vegas. But see, where his heart was at was to service and take care of people. And number three, beware of the motives of others. This is for my friend James Dixon. My friend James Dixon, number one motivational speaker in the world. This guy is incredible. Everyone wants a piece of him. Everyone wants a piece and everyone has an offer, but those offers are not always for him. Sometimes they want to be involved, they want to be connected, but they just want to take from him because his celebrity is at the highest right now. This guy is one of the most unbelievable speakers and one of the most unbelievable friends that I could ever imagine. So in verse 6-8, it says, beware of the motives of others. Do not eat the food of a begrudging host. Do not crave his delicacies, for he is the kind of person who is always thinking about the cost. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. You will vomit up the little that you have eaten, and you will have wasted your compliments. Beware of the motives of others as they come in. And my brother says this all the time. It's like, you can expand and you can grow and you could, dominate the world and create all these things. Or you can, sometimes it's okay to stay small and keep it all. And sometimes bigger is not better. Sometimes more is not better. Sometimes it's just becoming the greatest at what you can do right now. And then the world will find you. The world always finds masters. If you don't believe me on that, watch Euro Dreams of Sushi. It's a phenomenal movie on Netflix. You guys will absolutely love it. Number four in this is know your audience in verse number 9. And that's a pretty simple one, but it says, do not speak to fools, for they will scorn you, scorn your prudent words. Just know your audience and have discernment. The next one is honor those who come before you. You don't have to repeat the game, but definitely respect it. Because when you respect the game, the people who came before you, they have knowledge, they have wisdom, they have experience. And it doesn't mean you have to repeat it, but you can learn from it and just be a student of the game. Next one is listen. That's pretty simple, and that comes in verse number 12. Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to the words of knowledge. When we truly look at where our heart is at, what God is saying to us is just listen. Like, listen. It's all there. Next one is invite discipline. It's amazing because corresponding proverb, corresponding day, all of them deal with inviting wisdom as opposed to it just happening to you. Invite correction, invite these things. And that's in verse 13 and 14. In verse 15, it says to seek wisdom, and says, my son, if your heart is wise, then your heart, then my heart will be glad indeed. Wisdom, seek wisdom. How do we get it? Through the fear of God. So fear of God is not fear and trembling. It's fear is respect. That's the usage of the word. So if we respect God, he'll give us wisdom. That's the beginning of wisdom. And what he says is, if you respect me, I'll give you wisdom. And if your heart is wise, then my heart will be glad, meaning that you just spent time with him. And this is all through the whole thing. God's just wanting to spend a little bit of time with you. Slow down. Ask yourself, what's in your heart right now? Like, what are you concerned with? What do you wish? And what are you willing to do during that time? But make sure that you filter it all back to him. The next one is comparison, and this is in verse 17 and 18. This is the one that I struggle with huge, and I don't know about you guys, but and I'm sure you guys are all perfect. I'm the failure in this scenario, but I love failure because failure will teach you a lesson, right? And some people are like, no, failure is not an option. It is with God, because sometimes he wants you to fail at that specific thing so you can learn the lesson, and then you can bless somebody else as you move along with the story. But I tell you, watch this. Experiences create stories. Stories create lessons. But you can't get the lesson without the experience. So you got to be present, right? So in this comparison, in verse number 17 and 18, do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. There is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. In Proverbs, it talks a lot about hope also. And for those of you, again, just tuning in to any of these episodes, we do the corresponding proverb, corresponding day. There's 31 proverbs in a month. There's 31 days in a month. If you do the corresponding proverb, corresponding day, it's amazing. You read it, and then it reads you. next one is keep a sober mind. And this is in 19 through 20. And this is listen, my son, and be wise and set your heart on the right path. Do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat, for drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags. And so keeping a sober mind, anything, it's not just about alcohol. And this was a big thing, you know, when I looked at it, I was like, man, that's some judgment on alcohol. My wife drinks wine. I have friends who drink, and, you know, things like that. And it's like, no, it's not about that. It's anything that would take your mind. It would take your mind out of the sober state that says, I just need to spend time with him. Right. And so, beware and, you know, keep a sober mind. The next one is listen to your parents. I said this in our men's group today that this was a big one. I said, every single person has the perfect parents. And everyone stopped. And I said, that's a big statement, but let's sit for a second. Okay, so I was perfectly, wonderfully made in the image of God. Anything contrary to that's a lie. From this day forward, I will only accept truth. If God made you perfect and his timing is perfect, then everything that he put into your life was perfect. So you could either learn a lesson of what not to do or learn what to do. And one of the guys in our men's group, I could see he got a little shook, and he was like, well, I didn't have the perfect parents. You know, he was talking about different abuses and things like that. And it's amazing to see it. And when you look at that, because if you say that God is perfect and he built me exactly for this time, and if he's big enough to, you know, if he needed me somewhere else, he's big enough to be able to take me there. Imagine that if we sat in that for a second and said, like, now I can't get mad at the past. I can't get mad at my parents because they did X, or they, my uncle, because he did X. It just means that God was forging you for this time right now. And then we spend time with him. You know, when we spend time with him, I bet you, you know, your trials or your struggles, which I went through them when I was a kid, went through them, going through some now. But it's amazing because that will become a story for somebody else. If you're experiencing it, it becomes a story. That story becomes a lesson, but you can't get the lesson without the experience. And so that's how we form joy in our life, not from circumstances being amazing, but from falling in love with our current circumstances and allowing that magic to happen. And that's a big statement. Sit in it for a second. I know you want to argue, or I have a lot of friends who are like, no, you don't understand. Everybody has the perfect parents, and God provided them either to show you exactly what to do or what not to do. Think on it for a second. Next one, as we finish up, is give God your heart. And this is in verse 26 through 28. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes delight in my ways. For an adulterous woman is a deep pit, and a wayward wife is a narrow well. Like a bandit, she lies in wait and multiplies the unfaithful among men. It's not just talking about a physical woman. What it's talking about is anything that would get your eyes off of your relationship with him. But he says it right there in verse 26, son, give me your heart and let your eyes delight in my ways. Give God your heart. Today, when he was asking, like, where's your heart at? And see, this is the last one. And I experienced a lot of these in my life, because there was, you know, we had drug abuse, physical abuse, alcohol abuse in our family. And I'm not smiling because I'm happy about that. I'm just saying that it's the reality. And in this last one, it says, woe, sorrow, strife, complaints, needless bruises, bloodshot eyes. And I was like, whoa, I mean, I've experienced all of those. I've seen them happen. And then it follows up with those who linger over wine, who go and sample mixed wine, because they asked, who has those? Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaints? Who has needless bruises? Who has bloodshot eyes? And then he followed it up with those who linger over wine, who go to sample bowls of mixed wine. Do not gaze at the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a snake and poisons like a viper. Your eyes will see strange sights. Your mind will be imagine confusing things. You will be like one sleeping on the high seas, lying on top of the rigging. They hit me, you will say, but I am not hurt. They beat me, but I do not feel it. When will I wake up so I can have another drink? God was asking, like, where's your heart? And where he wants your heart to be is just with him, to be able to spend some time. And if you're going through challenges today, you know, throw a comment on the podcast, subscribe to it on YouTube, on Spotify, on Apple, but hit us with a comment. Hit us with a comment for a prayer request or whatever it is, and we'll pray you up. Our men's group, which is 7:30 to 8:30 every Tuesday morning in Carlsbad, California, and everyone is invited. It's amazing what happens, and it's amazing when we take every single thing that we have and we start to say, okay, what's at the core? Well, it's our heart, right? And so we start to ask, where is our heart at? Where is it at right now? What are we concerned with? What is heavy on your heart right now? And then to ask yourself, what do you wish that would happen? What's in your mind? Like, what do you wish that would happen in this situation? And then ask yourself, what am I willing to do? Well, once we align those things, what God says is then filter every single thing. Filter your belief systems through me, through my word. Filter your intentions or your mindset through me, through my word. Filter your actions or your skill set through me, through the word. And what will start to happen is you'll read the word, then the word will start reading you. And big shout out to the opposition coach last week. I apologize. I love you. Can't promise that I'll never do it again, because most likely my heart, when I'm coaching out there, I want to win. And but I believe that I learned a lesson in that, hopefully. And I can't tell you that I won't repeat it, though. So hopefully you have a phenomenal day. Find out where your heart's at. Align your mind. Align your actions. And it's amazing what God can do. But make sure that you filter it all through him. This is Proverbs 23, the corresponding proverb for the corresponding day. I want to thank every one of you for tuning into The Vibe. I'm your host, Kelly Cardenas, and I am officially off the hot seat. Peace, love, and soul.